Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Sweet Wednesday, 6. Ryan Kelly Morning After. You're listening to the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Gateway, the right way, at I-270, McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Ken Bone going to join us in a matter of seconds. And Brian Curtis of The Ringer going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. And I will be interviewing Senator Jack Danforth coming up at 1 o'clock. And we will have that for you tomorrow.
Is that a phone thing, Timmy, or are you going to videotape it?
That is a phone thing.
Okay.
So that's coming up. I'm going to do that interview at 1 o'clock today. And we'll have that for you tomorrow on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I am a Jack Danforth lemming, even though from a policy standpoint, we are on different pages on some things. I think he is as good and honorable as a public servant as the state of Missouri has elected in my lifetime. And, you know, for me, that's what it comes down to when I vote, although it's strictly intuitive. Having read his books and now having gotten to know him, it only reinforces my belief that he is a very good and decent man. So I'm very curious what he thinks.
Will this conversation you have with him be wonky?
That's a nice question, sir. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably going to be, because he's a very intellectual and philosophical man.
Hopefully patient, too.
I am really looking forward to talking with him. We spent some time together in his office last October. I was honored. I mean, couldn't be more honored. Probably the biggest honor I've had to, have him ask me to, prep him for his book tour, last October for all these interviews he was going to do. And so to be able to sit there and just, you know, do that, but also have a conversation with him. We went out to lunch, Anna Marie and I went out to lunch with him. Also, so we've developed this, a relationship that I think if you were getting odds on us, you know.
Kind of the odd couple.
Being fast friends. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I loved his book in 2006, Faith in Politics. He kind of predicted some of what has happened, but he certainly, I don't think, expected what happened last night. So nonetheless, we will have that for you tomorrow here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Gateway Buick GMC, one of the great sponsors of this radio program. They have over 20 different vehicles in their pre-owned selection that are under $10,000. That's right. Gateway Buick GMC not only has new vehicles, but they have a wide range of pre-owned inventory that you can drive away in for under $10,000 right now. Call 888-865-9419. That's 888-865-9419. It's Gateway Buick GMC. Online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. It's Gateway Buick GMC at I-270 McDonald Boulevard. He is really the man who emerged from the 2016 election, even though it was more than a month ago, I believe, that he became a household name in the United States. He is still going strong. There is even an emoji of him, and he is a friend of this program up until a couple of days. His Facebook profile picture, or his cover photo, was of me and Anna Marie and him at the golf tournament. He switched it. Doug, unfortunately, but he's still a friend of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Bone with us on the Appliances Counter phone lines. Morning, Ken.
Good morning. Ain't nothing against you, but I get to have some pictures taken with the local police, and since they've been sweeping my house for bombs, I thought I'd show them some love. And
yeah, I saw that. Your wife tweeted something out about there was a bomb threat at your house. What happened?
It's what happens when you get famous and you have a listed phone number. Sometimes crazy people call the cops and make fake bomb threats, thinking that it's some kind of joke.
That's awful. Why would you have any enemies at all?
I don't know. I think I'm such a lovable guy. I don't understand it.
Now, I think a lot of people are interested in who you cast your vote for in the presidential election. Is that something you're willing to share, or is that something you keep private?
I'm not telling anybody who I voted for. I've been promising for the last couple of weeks that no matter who won, I would publicly support them. So congratulations to President-elect Trump. We all whether you voted for him or not, he's going to be the president now, and we need to get behind him and try to get past this really divisive election season and see what we can make out of the next 4 years.
A lot of times when we ask a question that we're not getting the answer we want, we ask for initials. I don't know if you could give us the initials of who you voted for.
Oh, this is kind of a different way to try and get the answer. I would imagine it would trick Ken.
I am a pretty simple feller, but I did. I don't think you got me this time.
Trash.
You have to try again. Maybe we call earlier next time.
Yeah, that's probably the move.
Get me groggy.
Do you think your question played any role in the eventual outcome of this election?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that I changed the outcome of the election at all. I hope that I helped the voter turn out a little bit. Myself and a lot of people like me were practically pleading with people to go vote, and it was a really important election, so we had a big turnout. So I like to think I played a little part in that, but I'll never know how much, really.
Ken Bones, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Ken, you've said you're not going to disclose who you voted for, and you've said you will support whoever wins, and in this case, Donald Trump. You are supporting him now that he has won. Are you surprised, however, by the results? And not just that Trump won, but even though Clinton may wind up with the popular vote, from an electoral standpoint, it really wasn't that big of a sweat. I mean, he was taking control of this thing early on and won some states that I don't think anybody really, really thought he would wind up winning.
Yeah, there were several states like Wisconsin, for instance, that he won that I don't even think the Republican establishment thought he was going to win. So that was there were some real surprises last night.
Why do you think it went the way it did? What are a couple of things that you look at as to why Trump had what many thought was unexpected success?
I think it's just so much dissatisfaction with government as usual. A lot of people claim to be outsiders this election. That was like the big term, is I'm a political outsider. Well, most of the people that said they were outsiders have been like senators or congressmen for 20 years. Trump actually is an outsider who's never held any kind of political office, and that's been his message the whole time, and it seems like people really gravitated towards it.
Ken, what happens to you now? You think you'll continue to be in the spotlight for a while, or no? Or do you even want that?
I really doubt it. I don't see where people are going to want to call and talk to me about the election now that it's over, past the next couple of days doing reaction stuff. So I'll still just be making charity appearances and trying to raise a couple of bucks. I'll be with you guys at the Meghan Meyer bowling event.
Nice. Very nice, sir.
Next Saturday, trying to help raise a couple of dollars for a great cause. And, if I can keep doing stuff like that and make a few bucks for great local charities and have a good time, then I'm going to keep doing that until people are sick of me.
The question that put you on the map was regarding energy, and in particular, your responsibilities at a coal plant here locally. How do you believe the results of this election night impact that industry, Ken?
Well, economically, I think Trump's going to be fantastic for the energy industry. He's really going to be trying to pull back on regulation. We just have to remember to be environmentally responsible because Donald Trump is not really that big on the environment. He doesn't even really seem to think that climate change is a thing. So we just have to remember that we only have one Earth and we have to take care of it while we're busy making money, making electricity.
There are so many reasons why the people that don't like Trump, some hate Trump, and there's a number of reasons for it. It makes me wonder, even though that there is a Republican House, Republican Senate, and all that, he's going to have a tough time, because even in the Republican Party, there's a lot of never-Trumpers in there. Do you think he has any shot at trying to bring this country together, as he kind of laid out last night or early this morning?
I'm hoping that he'll put good people in cabinet positions, run it as if it was a business and not fill up the positions with people who he owes political favors to. And that'll go a long way. Other than that, we just have to remember that we didn't elect a king And it's not like he's going to get to institute all his policies overnight. When presidential candidates say they're going to lower taxes, that always makes me laugh a little bit, because they can ask Congress to lower taxes, but it's Congress that does that. And when they say they're going to, you know, basically everything presidential candidates say they're going to do is actually a function of Congress. So we'll see what he can work together with them to get done.
Ken, of all the things you got to do after you became famous, what are some of the highlights? What are some of the favorite things that you did that you'll remember forever?
Well, being in Washington and making the ad for IZOD was a blast. I was in Los Angeles for the red carpet premiere of Doctor Strange, so my inner nerd was really happy with that, being at a world premiere of a comic book movie. Right now I'm in New York. Last night I was at the Twitter election night party. So that was a blast. But I mean, really the best part is all the good stuff I've been able to do for charity. We were able to raise a few hundred extra bucks for three Little Birds for Life when I was out at the Lemmings Open with you guys. I've raised several thousand dollars for the St. Patrick Center and for Greater St. Louis Honor Flight. So that's always going to be the highlight for me.
Ken Bone. Nobody could have handled the situation better, for real. I mean, you were thrown into the spotlight, and then you had the whole thing with Reddit. You handled that well. Just really a tip of the cap to you, sir, for the way that you've taken this celebrity and not only handled it as well as you have, but then you've taken it and done a lot of good with it. Really couldn't be more pleasantly surprised and impressed by the whole thing, for real, man.
You get a bell for that, too.
I got a bell from you.
Because, Ken, you handled the whole thing with grace. Thank you for that.
And did something good with it. I mean, there were a number of charities, for real. I mean, that was your quest. I mean, the night you came to our, or the morning you came to our golf tournament, you had been up all night because somebody didn't show up for their shift, as I recall, and you were up all night because you couldn't leave the coal plant. So this is a good man here, and I think our audience knows that, and I really appreciate the way you handled it and how you've been a part of our show, but also how you've spent so much of your time trying to do good with a really unique situation. So tip of the cap to you, Ken.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Man, it's been great working with you guys. I've been able to do a lot of good stuff just because of the morning after. So hopefully I'll get to remain a friend of the show.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's like the mafia. Doug, you never get out of it. Doug, you will always be part of this show.
You try to get out, and they drag you back in.
I just want you to get back to being a cat lemming. It seems you're an Iggy lemming and a Tim lemming. I want to reestablish us, Ken.
Well, I'm all about the cat. You're always my first love.
Okay, but, for heaven's sake.
I got a feeling Iggy will be calling me again sometime. That beautiful little gargoyle just can't get enough of me.
Oh, my word.
I'll see you on the 19th. You're coming out to hang out with us, so we'll see you then.
Yeah, you bet.
Ken, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, Ken.
All right, thanks.
There he is.
Thank you, Bonesy.
Us here on the Ryan Kelly
Gargoyle
Morning After.
A beautiful little gargoyle.
That's not a compliment.
Depends on how you take it.
I guess.
Usually gargoyles are like monsters.
It's like a garden gnome.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is that there's certainly a lot of tumult on the landscape in regard to the election, but it's good to know that order was restored, that he is back to being a cat lemming.
That's right. He was from the get-go, sir.
Himself ringing.
Well, okay. That was one of the more, and maybe one of the few pleasant things that came out of this whole election cycle.
Yeah.
Is America found a new little guy that they like, that they never knew they knew, and who suddenly became very well known and very popular.
I think the second most important thing that came out of the election cycle, however, Doug, is the thing that you and I were monitoring closely, and we're thinking about flying out to California to vote against, and that, of course, is California Proposition 60.
Oh, how'd that do?
It actually lost 54%, 46%. The porn industry will continue to thrive in the San Fernando Valley.
Yep. Self-run.
Congratulations, Julianne.
A lot of happy porn stars. They don't have to wrap it up.
Yep.
I think marijuana became legal in California, too.
And in Vegas. It?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be spreading.
Plowsy's pumping his fist over there.
Plowhawk, how do you feel about that?
Good, and I have a feeling Trump is, I don't know his stance on marijuana. I don't know if he ever got into it
He knows a lot about marijuana, and it's great.
I have a feeling he's going to be pretty lenient towards marijuana, and I feel like you'll see certain states. I mean, medical has become prominent in most states, but I think you'll see recreational become more of a thing in the next year or so.
Don't say recreational around Doug, because he has a different meaning for that.
I think we have a lot more problems pressing us right now than the legalization of marijuana. I think that would be pretty far on the back burner of things to get around to.
Hillary Clinton is going to speak at 9:30. We have CNN up here in the studio now, so she's going to speak at 9:30. I know a lot of you probably went to bed before it happened. We have a bunch of sound for you from early this morning, and by early this morning, I'm talking about like 2 in the morning. Here is Donald Trump as he announces that he received a phone call from Hillary Clinton.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard.
Donald Trump saying that this is now the time for unity.
Lever Plowsy, hit it.
To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people. It's time. I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans, and this is so important to me.
That's Donald Trump last night in front of supporters in New York City. Once again, something we discussed in the 7 o'clock hour. To my surprise, and also I don't like to say disappointment, because if I'm in some position to be disappointed, but I had Donald Trump lost and he not come out, and only Kellyanne Conway would have come out like last night with Hillary Clinton and John Podesta, her campaign manager, coming out and telling people to go home and go to bed and this is not over. I would have been critical of Donald Trump. So it cuts both ways. And that was very surprising. And from my standpoint, disappointing that Hillary Clinton, I understand wanting to wait until the race is called. I get that. But to not address things last night, I thought was amiss. But she will be addressing the country here at 9:30. And I am quite intrigued to see what she has to say.
Kellyanne Conway may be the unsung hero of all this, because he was really floundering and in trouble when he appointed her. And she was very good on the interviews and the talk shows. She was really quite impressive, I thought.
Yeah, handling hostile territory, too. I did think she navigated that pretty well. I just think it's amazing that there was so much talk about whether or not Trump would be able to handle losing the election, whether he would accept it. Now, obviously, Hillary's accepting it, but I agree with Tim. It was a disappointment that she didn't come out and speak early this morning.
Yeah. And if I was one of her supporters, I'd be extremely disappointed that I sat there until 2 in the morning waiting and had been there probably since 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, at least.
And she didn't have 30 seconds to come out and say, thank you so much for your support. Some of the states are still too close to call. We're going to hang in there right till the last vote is called. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for all your support.
Why wouldn't
That's
she
all
at least,
would have taken.
Why wouldn't she at least say that? I agree with that. For all these people that put in so much work on both campaigns, why wouldn't she walk over? Why wouldn't she have gone with Podesta?
Probably stunned by it all. Maybe someone said, no, you'll go out there and say something you're really going to regret.
I think the move was, you know, I think Podesta going out there and saying, we're going to wait. You know, thank you for being here. We realize it's late. But, you know, the race is still not called, and we want every vote to be counted before any announcement. So thank you for your support, and, you know, please be patient with a, you know, incredibly important but unique process. And then if Hillary Clinton at approximately 2 a.m. called Donald Trump, 2 Eastern, so they're both in New York City, which is, I think, super rare. Usually you have people, you know, not that close to each other, of course.
They were about a mile apart.
No. I don't know where was McCain, I assume, set up in, I would assume, Phoenix area in 08?
I don't remember that.
I don't know where Romney was set up, but, I mean, Clinton had Grant Park in Chicago, and they were expecting a victory party in New York City. But for her to not come out, I just thought that was I thought that was a miss. Here's David Axelrod, somebody who I really, really respect. I'd like to think a lot of people do, even if they are not fans of Barack Obama. This is his explanation or theory, anyway, for why exit polls were so wrong during the presidential race.
Pull the pulley, Plowsy.
You look at the exit polls, whether they got the top line numbers right or not, what is clear is there was a hunger for change among a lot of Americans, and those who felt strongly about, those who were angered and disenchanted with government, overwhelmingly were supporting Donald Trump, notwithstanding the fact that two-thirds of them said that they didn't think that he had the temperament or the qualifications for it. This was a primal scream on the part of a lot of voters who are disenchanted with the status quo.
David Axelrod last night on CNN.
He's one of the best.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Yeah. His podcast, to me, is the best thing going. And as I was citing yesterday, his interview with John Weaver, which went up on Monday on his podcast, John Weaver handled John McCain's campaign. John Weaver, for the vast majority of his career, has been a Republican campaign strategist, and he said he expected Hillary Clinton to win in a landslide and then to also be the most unpopular person ever elected to the presidential position in the United States. And, of course, both those things wrong, because without the first one, you can't have the second one. Had the first one happened, I'm certain that the second one would have been true. And I would imagine that now it's just Trump with being the most unpopular. I hope. I don't know how it'll play off. I feel like, maybe it's a bad read. I feel like there is a sense, even though, and I would include myself, it's not because I necessarily wanted to see Hillary Clinton win. I just didn't want to see Donald Trump win. But there is a sense that, okay, it is behind us. It really wasn't close, which is a surprise because I thought it would be Hillary and it wouldn't really be even remotely close. But he is our president. And whether you disagree with how he got there or you disagree with his policies, him being successful means that the country is being successful and it's in the best interest, the greater good of the country, for him to somehow, you know, from my standpoint, surprisingly, be a great president. I hope it happens. And I feel like I'm not by any means the only person saying that. And don't get me wrong, a lot of people say that they were very sad, stunned, whatever you would want to say this morning. But I hope that that is the direction that the discussion goes. I think Trump set a positive tone last night. Again, it wasn't some, you know, beautiful oratory moment by any means, but with what he actually said, I thought that was a step in the right direction. And I think Hillary Clinton can help the cause, although doing so at 10:30 Eastern isn't necessarily as powerful as doing it on the election night, albeit it would have been at 2 in the morning Eastern. But nonetheless, I think that is a very important thing. There's a lot of healing to go on. You didn't have one president who is living, or a Republican presidential nominee even, with the exception of Bob Dole, support him. You had the bizarre dynamic between him and Speaker Ryan. You had the whatever was going on with him and Ted Cruz. You have a number of people who simply voted against Hillary Clinton and not Donald Trump. But hopefully something that I think he has done to get himself to success in business is something that I hope he will do in the White House, and that is surround himself with a very strong cabinet, and hopefully the country will be the better for it. Candidly, I'm scared, but I hope that just like what I thought was going to happen with the election, with her winning and being wrong on that, I hope I'm wrong on this, and I hope he winds up being a great president. In 1980, as I understand it, I was way too young to remember it, but as I understand it, there were a lot of people nervous about Ronald Reagan. Now, Ronald Reagan, of course, had served as governor of California, but they viewed, oh, this guy is just an actor, and he won. But the difference was he was defeating a guy who was, you know, incredibly unpopular in Jimmy Carter. But hopefully, somehow, there would be some parallels as far as the, you know, the way that many Americans view the 1980s, which was a successful decade for the country.
You know, he has softened his stance on some of the on some of the issues that I think people originally were turned off by. But I mean, if you look at what he said over the years, he self-identified as a Democrat, maybe with a guy like Trump who's used to negotiating and making deals, that there is a chance that he's able to reach across the aisle and maybe there's a chance for some sort of unity.
I think, and maybe I'm wrong, I think the thing that people don't like about Donald Trump is his personality. I don't think there's a whole lot of his policies that you have to hate. I mean, even the immigration thing, I mean, are you really against trying to prevent unvetted people coming across our border by the millions?
Anyone think that's
a good idea that we allow that to happen?
But you understand that when someone says we're going to ban Muslims, now he's gotten away from that. But I mean, you understand why people looked at that and were repulsed by that.
Can understand why a lot of people aren't real excited about accepting tens of thousands of people from the Middle Eastern countries
who seem to be hell bent on our destruction. I'm all for vetting, and I'm all for limiting, and I'm all for making sure that the United States is safe. I'm all for that. But that's not really what I was saying about what he had said about banning a religion from coming in. That's the point that I think turned a lot of people off and then made them look at him as some sort of racist. You know, that I understand what you're saying, but I think that's a different way of saying it than he originally did. And as I said, he's softened his stance and kind of gotten away from
it. He doesn't say things very well. He's not very polished, that's for sure. There would have been ways to have gotten his point across without being quite so blunt about it. But I don't know how many people, aside from Hillary Clinton, are anxious to bring in these tens of thousands, up to hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees when you don't know who's coming. I don't know who thinks, yep, that'd be a really great thing for our country to have these people come that have sworn for our destruction.
I get it, it wouldn't be
a good thing. He wants to be very pro-business. He try to change some of the trade treaties that we've got with other countries, with so many businesses going to Mexico and China and everything else. Who's against that? Anybody against that? I don't think anybody would be. I think mostly it's his personality that people like rather than his policies. If you're a legal immigrant in this country, you've got no problems. If you're not, you might have a problem, just as you would have a problem if you wandered into Mexico or any other country. Countries have borders, and to say that we're going to stand up for our border and you're going to have to get in legally, that shouldn't be such a radical idea. But for some people it is.
I wonder if Biden would have run if he would have beaten Trump. And I wonder
probably
if
so.
Rubio would have run, would he have beaten Clinton?
Probably so.
Yeah, so that's what I just play it out, how much of this was, because I just think there was a clear underestimation of the dislike for Hillary Clinton. And then that works to both camps. It works for people coming out passionately for Donald Trump, although there are plenty of people, I think, especially in the rural areas, based on the turnout in the rural areas, who were just passionately for Trump. But in the urban/exurban, as it's being called, areas, there was not that passion for Hillary Clinton. I'm reading the, thoughts on what transpired here. And from CNN.com, there was not a Clinton coalition, or at least a strong turnout from new Latino voters, and support from college-educated women was nowhere near enough to match Trump's strength with white voters. Clinton was hurt by a downtick in African-American turnout, which helped Barack Obama, but her loss also reflected the reality for a Democratic Party that has drifted leftward and relied more heavily on an urban base in the Obama years. Blue dogs, i.e. conservative Democrats, are gone, and the working-class voters who used to support politicians like Bill Clinton were nowhere to be found for Hillary Clinton. And, of course, see Michigan, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the Rust Belt states that went his
Wisconsin.
Way. That's a perfect example of what's happened there. These people that have lost their jobs by the tens of thousands, saying, well, let's try something else.
Doug, this is John with a Canadian perspective.
That's important to get.
Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah. What's up? What are you doing?
You up here in Vancouver. We can have some Molsons and eat some poutine.
Ah, okay. I've been to Vancouver once. Beautiful city.
It sure is. Yeah. And Chuckles didn't want to hang out with me when he was up here, but anyone up there is perfectly welcome. We can hang out.
Chuckles was up there? Charlie Marlowe? Is that who you're talking about?
Of course.
Okay. What are you doing now? You're busy doing something. Mm. I can hear something.
I'm walking my dog.
Oh, okay.
In British Columbia.
Yeah, it's still dark and rainy up here.
We are very popular in British Columbia.
I would think so. The signal goes that far.
Do they have dogs in Canada?
They got them. So what's the Canadian perspective? What are people saying up there?
They are terrified.
Why?
Well, they think we're going to attack Canada?
Do you know that the immigration website up to Canada actually
crashed?
You know, it completely crashed.
I heard that. I think that was a joke, or think that's real? You think Americans are really going to immigrate to Canada? Really?
It's actually very difficult to do up here. I'm in the process of trying to get my permanent residency. It's not very easy.
What are you, a poker player who had to move?
On temporary foreign workers.
Why'd you move up there, baby? Why'd you move up there?
My wife received a promotion with her company that you all continuously make fun of on the show.
What company is that?
Lululemon.
Lululemon.
Oh, well, when have we made fun of that?
I just said that
we love wearing their stuff.
I just said when I went in there, no, the stuff is great to buy my wife a present. I didn't feel like I was their target demo.
Mm-hmm.
I felt somewhat emasculated.
That old men? Yeah, no, you're not it.
Yeah, so yeah, but they try to tell you they're like David Backus buys his yoga pants here. Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, well, he's a good-looking younger man.
Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to.
What do you think we are?
Well, I know what you are, Doug.
Oh, you son of a so and so.
Well, maybe it was something good. Maybe he's going to say something good.
Mm. All right.
Well, you're yeah.
So you really think Americans will now storm the borders and move to Canada?
Well, there's also talk about Canadians building a wall now.
Yeah, well, that'd be a long, long wall. About 4,000 miles.
And America's going to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
No, I think Canada's willing to pay for it. They always say you're kind of lucky up here with all the resources. You can just dig a hole in the ground and out comes some money.
Really?
All yeah. Right. There's economy's not very good other than anything natural resource-based, whether it be oil or logging or fishing. So over on the East Coast, the fishing, the cod sort of dried up. So they don't have any, they don't have the jobs anymore.
And you got a flaming liberal in charge up there now with Trudeau. How do you think that's going to go?
Canada's favorite art student, right? According to Kelly Chase.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we got some Canadian imports on the Blues who face the Blackhawks tonight, and they're doing quite well for this country. Thank you very much. Blues hockey.
Bell ring.
Not on
Fox unfortunately, they lost when they were up here. I went to the game. We were about one of maybe six Blues fans there. On a Tuesday night in October, there's not a lot of traveling fans, I would imagine.
No. Mm-hmm. What kind of dog are you walking there, John?
A little Westie.
Oh, I like Westies, yeah.
Oh, they're horrible. Little Napoleon complex dogs. I married into this thing.
Really? Oh, I had one and I loved it.
I'm a big fan.
Why?
Well, because it was a fabulous fabulous little dog.
I'm dealing with that right now.
Well, it goes after squirrels, though. Ground squirrels, regular squirrels, they'll go nuts for those.
You know, the squirrels up here are all black-colored. They don't really have gray ones, at least in the Vancouver area.
Oh, that's odd. Mm. Well, now, those dogs were bred as rat killers aboard ships, the West Island Terriers.
Wow, fun facts.
That's why they go
true.
Nuts.
Also, they have a very wide base. You'd like to have a wide base of the tail so that when they go in digging, you can pull them out and it won't hurt them.
I know. That's why I like that dog. Yeah.
All right.
Well, all right, John. It's been a nice walk.
Who is the bald doctor that you were looking at up here? I'm trying to might hit him up.
The hair plug doctor that we talked about once?
Oh, that's my turf.
Yeah.
I was looking at a guy in. I was looking at that about a decade ago. I don't know if he's still practicing, but that supposedly was the best place to go. I think it's like Hassan and Wong or something like that.
Can you get us a discount up there, John?
Yeah, hook me up. I want to look like Quinn Snyder.
Jeff Passan?
You don't need a discount. So. It's 75 cents on the dollar for U.S. dollars.
So we could get a hair transplant for $10,000 or so.
10,000 Canadian or 10,000 Canadian, 7,500 US.
Yeah. No, that's not bad.
In 2007, it was going to be like 20 grand, as I recall.
All right, we'll go up there and we'll stay at your place and we'll get group discounts. How's
sweet.
That?
That'll be fun. I can play on Poker Stars, so everybody wins.
Take off, hoser.
It'd be pretty hot.
Would be very hot, brother. Very hot.
All right.
Perfect. Okay, John, sorry to bother you.
So we called him. Watch the long distance VC monster when you try and get these callers.
He was a little breathy. Just from walking a Westie.
Doug, here's Big Al.
Oh, hello, Al. Hello, big one.
What up, boys? Anybody put an APB out on Brawler yet? Hey, Brawler, don't worry about it, buddy. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. In the end, you'll buy me a beer and someday and say, Al, you were right, baby. You were right.
Telling this is going to happen?
Wow.
Dougie, are we happy or what, baby?
Yeah, I'm happy with the way it turned out.
We're guardedly happy, you know. There's a little,
don't
hope
gloat.
To heck you don't push the button and get us into World War III. I understand
the
all that, everybody.
The button doesn't just sit right on the desk, and he has an option to push it all.
You
the
got
time.
It. But I tell you what, the country spoke, and I would have never dreamed it. In fact, I opened my big mouth and was going to bet a friend of mine and a large sum of money and say that Hillary was going to win, and he was Trump. And I said, if with the media and everybody doing what they're doing for him, I don't see it. And or for her, I mean, and against him, and the country got up and said enough is enough. So here we go. We're going to go this way now. And it's about our country. That's what I kept telling everybody. This is beyond or was beyond politics. And trust me, they were the two worst candidates I've ever seen in my lifetime as far as trying to run for a president with qualifications and the things that needed to be done. But the country just said, you know what, we're in the wrong direction, and we got to turn this thing around because we're going in the ditch. And the country spoke, and they're like, you're right, Timmy. The Hispanics didn't come out. The blacks for sure didn't come out. And people looked at at what was the Clintons were bringing and everything that was, you know, in their, what do you call their history and things that were going on in their world. And they said, this is stinking like rotten meat. And I'm sorry, I got to hold my nose and vote for him. And my wife voted for Trump. She's a huge Democrat. And she just said, I don't feel good about it today. And I said, well, honey, I feel real good about it. So we'll feel good together tonight when you get home, because I'm going to make you feel real good. Woo!
Okay, Al.
So anyway, I just want to say, let's come together, America. I mean this. It's not about he said, she said. We got to work together. We're one country, one color. We're one group. And we got this whole world ready to kill us, take our jobs, which they're doing. And we need to come together as the United States of America. I love everybody.
Thank you, Big Al.
Yeah, it was inspirational right there.
CNN just announcing that Trump has passed the 270-vote threshold.
They just got there, didn't they?
Just got there.
All right. 289-218 is the current mark. And last I saw, Hillary was up in the popular vote by 200,000. She will speak at 9:30 St. Louis time from New York City. So I am intrigued to hear what she has to say.
Big
coming
Al,
up. Yes,
sir. Big Al brought up the point about the media being on Hillary's side. I wonder if this election, if we didn't see a shift in the importance of the national television news media to where they are no longer quite as important as what you're seeing online, as Twitter, Facebook, and all this, because inevitably everything I saw online was Trump was way ahead of Hillary with Facebook clicks or Twitter mentions or however you want to gauge it. He always had far superior numbers to her with that. And I wonder if that's not a signal of the shifting of the ways that people are getting their information now.
Well, I think people have a distrust for the media, and so I think that they depend on some of it for information, but they don't count on what they're getting is unfiltered or totally accurate. I think everyone looks at what they see on television to a certain extent or read even online is it's tainted one way or the other.
We welcome our listeners to get involved. 855-CUB-TALK. One phone call today. The focus is the election. We already were joined by Ken Bone at 8 o'clock. We'll be joined by Brian Curtis of The Ringer at 9 o'clock. Your emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Your thoughts on what has transpired, whether it be with the presidential election, the Missouri Senate, or the U.S. Senate, Missouri seat, Roy Blunt reelected as well. Eric Greitens wins big over Chris Koster. Really a huge night for the Republican Party. You're welcome to express your thoughts by calling in, by texting, and it's 855-CUB-TALK, 855-CUB-TALK, here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Bud Light is the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Pour yourself a cold, frosty one tomorrow night. Doug at Hot Shots, where we'll be ponied up and talking it over with the likes of Timberfake, Tony Lee, perhaps this mystery brunette Timberfake's bringing, of course, Bonnie Rotten and Jay Randolph Jr. And I say to 101 ESPN, take that.
Take that.
And when you mention
say that, they say to KMOX, okay, your move.
You yeah, there you go. How do you like us now?
Yep.
And you pull on your shirt a little to show the name of your team. You
know, yeah, I also want to show off my left nipple piercing.
I got a text from Charlie Brennan saying, I can't believe you got rotten.
Yep. Sorry.
Can I do anything? Can I pony her? Can I tag team her? Can I come over and get some sound? And nope.
Yeah, that's an exclusive.
I hope they don't try to steal her.
No, that's an exclusive. Right. I could see Raby maybe trying to get in on that. But
now, when you say Jay Randolph Jr. will be there, does that mean there will be a foot fetish?
I would imagine so. I think this is something that anytime Jay and I exchange texts over the last few weeks, he has always hashtagged it Bonnie Rotten, even though it's usually about golf lessons.
Mm. Okay. It's just kind of understood that when he appears, there will be a foot fetish portion of it.
It's kind of his thing, but he does it for the listener.
I think that's true. The fetish is just so darn mild.
Yep.
That it's almost not even worth bringing up.
Hot Shots is the home of TMA Live tomorrow. It's Hot Shots and Fenton. Come on out. Let's figure out what the word is. Let's bond. You might be having a celebratory cocktail. Tell them we're due would be my recommendation. They're the official Irish whiskey, the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Or you might be saddened by the election results. But I think we all are on board with California voting down Prop 60. So that's something we can get behind, and we'll get Bonnie Rotten's thoughts on that and so many other topics that people are curious to get her opinion on tomorrow night.
I'll be getting some wings during her segment.
What are some of the other topics?
The Raiders are relocating.
Oh, yeah.
She's a big Raiders fan. Okay. Measure C in San Diego shipped. I mean, it got shipped. 61%. Voted no. It got 39% yes. Let's see. Well, at the latest update now in the San Diego Union Tribune is 41%. Either way, you get the idea. It had to get 66% to win. 66.7%, two-thirds majority, no. 25 percentage points off from there. And really, most importantly, for the purpose of the delay of giving Spanos another year to decide what he wants to do with Inglewood up to no good with the steamer, He can't have that now because 41%, they're not even within shouting distance of 50%, much less the 66.7%. So the action is on Dean Spanos to decide what he is going to do. Chargers owner posted a letter to fans on the team's website after midnight Pacific thanking all those who helped put Measure C on the ballot and supported it. He said there would be no immediate decision about the way forward. Quote, in terms of what comes next for the Chargers, it's just too early to give you an answer. We're going to diligently explore and weigh our options and do what is needed to maintain our options, but no decision will be announced until after the football season concludes, and no decision will be made in haste.
Now, as I read between the lines, it sounds like they're playing here next year.
I get that sense, maybe playing at St. Louis U High.
Well, we got a dome right there ready for them.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm not sure what will happen there, except that I am real confident that the Chargers will remain in San Diego. Who pays exactly how much for what, I don't know. But somehow the NFL will make sure that the Chargers remain in San Diego.
I agree. I don't know how. But they like that market. It's a good market. Get it fixed.
I am fascinated by how that one plays out because,
wow.
Was that a resounding rejection of public funding for a San Diego stadium? Meanwhile, in Arlington, Texas, the Texas Rangers received hundreds of millions of dollars in public funding for a new baseball stadium.
So. Yeah. It's amazing that when I was in favor of getting public money for a football stadium in St. Louis, I was all for it. And now when San Diego doesn't cough up the money for a public stadium, I'm saying, good for them. Why should they pay for it? It's all about your team, I guess.
Yeah.
I was all for it here, trying to keep the club. Now I can say, yeah, well, why would they pony up for the NFL?
Why don't you pony up tomorrow night at Hot Shots?
I'm a hypocrite in that regard.
Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill is proud to be partners with the St. Louis Blues. Blues and Blackhawks tonight. They are partners once again with the St. Louis Blues. Come by a new Hot Shots every Tuesday for their Tuesday night hockey night Blues ticket giveaways. Pull up a front row seat and watch all the Blues action at Hot Shots and enjoy awesome Blues specials, a shot at great prizes, and free high fives for every goal. During each party, Hot Shots customers can enter to win a pair of Blues Plaza level tickets to be given away at the conclusion of the game. Come by and watch the Blues, have a beverage, and enter to win Blues tickets. Sounds like a winner. It's Hot Shots. The next Tuesday night game for Blues fans is November 15th. It's Hot Shots, Manchester. Doug, this is Hall of Famer Dave. Good morning, Hall of Famer Dave.
Hey, love the show. I'm a Hall of Famer.
Oh, hello, Dave.
Hey, looks like the DWV came through yesterday.
Doug, DMV is where you had an issue with tags.
Oh, I sure did. Is that what you're talking about? You're just getting your driver's license?
No, on the fan page. I always put up disgruntled white voter, and a lot of people don't like that, but it came through yesterday.
Well, I guess in a general sense, that's not all who was voting for Trump. It's not everybody. Could be a big chunk,
well,
but it's not everybody.
Seen yesterday payback day, and I've been calling it that since May, so... I want to give a shout-out to everybody on the fan page that gave me props for basically standing by what I said for months.
Yep.
And I also want to give a shout-out to the people that didn't like me, but I still love you, baby. I love everybody on the fan page. That thing is a hell of a marketing tool for you, Tim, and the TMA audience.
It is a great thing. I love communicating with the fine Americans on that page. They use their real names, except for a handful here and there, Doug, and it's a way for us to communicate with the audience. And I love it.
I
know a lot about fan pages, and they're great.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I had some good banter back and forth on that fan page over the last month. One of the reasons I haven't been calling in or anything, but...
Because you've been active on the fan page?
That's taking all your time. You got to really think about those posts.
You know what, though? There's a lot of good common sense. Besides the fact that it's just entertaining, it's like a sitcom. I mean, it's almost like all 4,400 members are writers for a sitcom or something. But I still listen to the show all the time. Sometimes I got to podcast it if I'm not away. But the one thing that I tried to get across, you know, it's kind of funny, man. Months ago, I posted about Trump and the fact that he had a good chance of winning, and people were very dismissive of that. But I posted that as like a warning, actually. But then so many people jumped on me about like, oh, that's not going to happen, Dave. That's not going to happen, Dave. He'll never win. There's not enough white voters. And I was like, no, you guys are way wrong. So then I kind of made it a thing to keep doing it. And you know, this may sound like BS, but it's the truth. When I travel around the country, you don't see Hillary support. But, man, the Trump support was everywhere. It wouldn't be in the Bay Area necessarily, but when you get out into the central coast of California, even those towns down to 101, they were all Trump people.
And you know what? That's one of the things they said, too, is that in some of the states that Trump won, even though the heavily populated areas were Clinton, the margins were enough in some of the other areas to offset that and help Trump win. So
the thing that was the best predictor, and I posted this a few times on the fan page, all you have to do is go look at the presidential voting by county. That map explains America. You know, the urban city areas basically are more liberal, more democratic, and everywhere else isn't. You know, Brian Williams actually said something that made sense last night. He goes, we all dismissed all the Trump signs out in western rural Virginia. Well, duh, just because you're a bi-coastal elitist, that's another one of my terms, Doug.
I like
and
it.
Chris Matthews actually said it last night. But I guess he followed the fan page.
Probably.
I'm sure he's on there. It's common sense, man. I don't understand how a lot of these people, especially in St. Louis, don't understand this. Do you not get away from St. Louis County? Do you not know what Southern Missouri is about? Do you not know what Kansas is about? I know there's less people living in those areas, but that widespread sentiment is everywhere. You don't have to go that far west of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. I go up there a lot. You know, James Carville said it years ago. In Pennsylvania, you got Philadelphia on the east and Pittsburgh on the west, and in the middle, you got Alabama. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so for Trump to win was the least shocking and surprising thing to me. And the reason I call it payback day is because everybody that's PC, everybody that's worried about, you know, multicultural, you know, diversification in America, you're missing the point. People aren't against that. They're against the way you present it to the people. You know, everything from lighting the White House up in rainbow colors to, you know, just
a myriad of PC type things. So, you know, it was a fun ride. Excuse me. It was fun doing that stuff all through the election cycle.
Yeah, I think you're right about what you're saying about the demographics, that the cities tend to be liberal and the rural areas tend to be conservative. It's just a matter of if there are enough people in the rural areas to counteract what's in the in the cities. And the answer was there really wasn't. Hillary still got more votes. It's just that the way the Electoral right. College went this year is that the the conservative thought pattern won.
I understand that, and I agree with that. But just because all the people who are in control of the country, like media and stuff like that, are in big cities, obviously, because that's where the business is. But the fact of the matter is, the rest of the country still has to do their thing. You know, we're out here, flyover territory, whatever you want to call it. But I just know, by the way I travel around, that this was the least shocking thing to me in any regard.
Well, you were one of the few then, sir. Tip of the cap to you. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, you're welcome, man. Keep it going.
All right, thanks, Hall of Famer.
Dave on the appliance discounter phone lines. Barnhart Brawler has issued a statement, Doug.
Yeah. Asking for a recount.
Brawler update, not doing well. Please be gentle when you justifiably gloat. That's from the Barnhart Brawler.
Well, try not to gloat. I don't think anyone likes somebody who's gloating. You can be happy that your side won without rubbing it in or gloating or giving you the I told you so.
You did say, though, the conservative thought pattern prevailed. I don't even think this is about being a conservative. You know, a lot of conservatives hated Trump. To me, this is just Donald Trump, not business as usual in Washington.
Well, but Hillary is about as liberal as it gets.
Yeah.
But it's Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's the thing. And we'll never know. It's total air because it's a hypothetical that'll never play out. But I really would be curious if it would have been Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. What would have happened? In other words, was this, because it's clearly both a factor in both, was this about Donald Trump or was this about Hillary Clinton? And clearly, I think the thing that got people in rural America, where they just totally miscalculated by underestimating the turnout, that was about Trump. But the lack of enthusiasm for the turnout in urban areas, I believe, was about Hillary Clinton.
That's why I'd say this is more about Clinton, because a lot of the people that voted for Trump, and not all of them, but a lot of people hated Hillary
right.
on the other side. So she had to excite her base, and she couldn't do it to that right. extent. So because she's Hillary Clinton, to me, the Democrats have no one to blame but themselves.
Right. We'll never really know how many people voted against just the personality and how many people's vote was dictated by the policies of the two candidates. We'll never really know, but I'm sure it was a mix of both.
Brian Curtis, who's going to join us here in a matter of moments, writes for The Ringer, my money, very good writer and thinker, had this piece. It's at theringer.com this morning. It's titled, What Just Happened? He cited a poll in Wisconsin, which was, wouldn't you say Wisconsin was the biggest surprise?
Yes.
I would. Yeah. I didn't even know that was even
Hillary never
play.
Even went there once because it was so locked
but
down.
She pulled out of even spending dollars in Virginia. And that was up in the air until the urban areas came in, and then it went her way. But it was certainly, they were going, oh my God, that was one that nobody was even really monitoring. But he notes in his column this morning, and he's going to join us here in a couple of minutes, Brian Curtis, that 63%, if I'm not mistaken, of the people, yes, here it is. According to an exit poll, 63% of Wisconsinites viewed Donald Trump unfavorably. Donald Trump won Wisconsin. So in that capacity, it shows you how much the anti-Hillary thing was a factor. I thought the anti-Trump thing would be the greater factor, but it was the combination of anti-Hillary and pro-Trump that I believe carried this election for Donald Trump, whereas there was certainly anti-Trump, but there wasn't nearly as much pro-Hillary as there was pro-Trump. And with the benefit of hindsight, that wasn't a surprise. I thought, and I know I keep citing because it's one person saying it on one podcast, although it's a very popular podcast, but I just thought, God, I'm like, how can you guys possibly say that those who are voting for Donald Trump are voting anti-Hillary, but those who are voting for Hillary are voting because they're pro-Hillary. Because I know that if I do go in there Tuesday and vote for Hillary Clinton, it's not because I'm like, yes, Hillary Clinton. I'm going, I just can't in good faith vote for Donald Trump. And so I know for me, as somebody who is a very big supporter of Barack Obama's, that I am just not on board with her. And I feel like there has to be a large number of people who therefore either will not vote for her or just not even show up at the polls. And I think that's the thing that was really miscalculated when it's all said and done, in addition to underestimating the support Trump got from rural America. We'll get Brian Curtis's take on the other side of the break. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After.